Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Are you on the phone, Eric? If not, he's excused.
Thank you. Cindy?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Okay, we have six assembly members present. It's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, that brings us to approval of minutes, and I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from October 20th, 2015 regular meeting and the October 26th, 2015 abatement appeal hearing minutes in one motion. If people are okay with that. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Wallhuter to adopt the minutes of both of those meetings. So any changes? Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, those minutes are approved. And looking for a motion for approval or amendments to today's meeting agenda. Entertain a motion to approve the meeting agenda as presented.
So moved.
I'll second.
The motion's been made by Member Greger and seconded by Member Logadakis to approve today's meeting agenda minutes, or meeting agenda. Any changes? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we'll stick with the meeting agenda as it's presented. Today we have a public hearing, and the public hearing today is on Ordinance 2015-14. This is an ordinance amending the official zoning map for Service Area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone a portion of Greenbelt of the Airport Addition subdivision from open space to Commercial 1. So anybody in the audience like to participate in this public hearing today?
Yeah.
How's the time? Okay. Step up to the mic.
586 Mitkoff. I'm in support of the rezone. I think the borough needs to address quite a few zoning issues, and I think rezoning this area is a better use than open space. It'll give the borough some money, and like I said, I think we need more of it in town. There's quite a few examples of poorly zoned properties. I think the assembly should get behind it, and the community.
All right, thank you, Aaron. Anybody else want to participate in today's public hearing on this issue? Seeing nobody expressing interest, we'll move on. That public hearing is closed. Next item on the agenda is bid awards. There are none today. Is there any visitors' views related to today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda. Anybody in the audience with views unrelated to the agenda today? Okay, move forward. Board, commission, and committee reports. There are none listed. No items on the consent agenda. Report of other officers. There are none other than the mayor and the manager, so I will proceed with my report. As soon as it'll come up on my iPad. It was there earlier.
Roman?
Yeah, somebody's. There it is. Third time's a charm, I guess. Okay, we're seeking letters of interest. The borough is seeking letters of interest from borough residents willing to serve on the following boards and commissions until October 2016 municipal election. There are two hospital board seats, two planning commission seats, and one vacant public safety seat. In addition, there is one vacant seat on the Historical Preservation Committee serving as a representative to the Planning Commission. The appointee will serve until December 31st, 2015. Letters of interest may be addressed to the borough clerk and emailed to dthompson@petersburgak.gov or mailed to Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, 99833 or dropped off at the borough administration office in the municipal building. We have a letter of interest received from Yancey Nielsen, and he wants to be on the Planning and Zoning Commission. So without any objection from the Assembly members, I'd like to appoint Yancey to the Planning and Zoning Committee. Welcome, Yancey. Thanks for your willingness to serve. Okay, we're seeking letters of interest to serve on the Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board. Petersburg Borough will have two voting members this year and two alternates on the SEPA board for the calendar year of 2016. Citizens willing to serve are asked to submit a letter of interest to Mayor Jensen or Clerk Thompson in the same manner as mentioned above for borough boards and commissions. The Assembly will appoint two voting members and two alternates at the next meeting, which is November 23rd. And the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association Board Municipality Seat Vacancy. The NSARA Board has a vacant municipality seat. The board will make an appointment to the seat at their next meeting on November 12th and 13th, so there's not much time left to put your name in if you're interested. Letters of interest should be submitted to an active local NSARA board member, and the clerk would have the names.
Yes.
I mean, so.
Yes.
Or you could probably Google NSARA and find them as well. Okay, and we've been asked to support a possible chum salmon remote release site in Thomas Bay. The NSARA Board of Directors will be considering pursuing approval to use Thomas Bay as a remote release site for chum salmon. Petersburg is one of the few towns in the region that does not have an enhanced run of chum salmon located nearby. If the remote release site is approved by the state, the returning salmon would primarily benefit the seine fleet, though it is likely gillnetters would also benefit. A seine fishery in Thomas Bay would allow the fleet to stay closer to home as well as attract other boats to town, which would have a positive economic benefit to the community. And I would entertain a motion to have a letter in support of this.
I'll move that we present a letter to them in favor.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Greger to send a letter in support of the Chum Salmon Remote Release Site in Thomas Bay. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, Debbie, can you draft something up?
Absolutely.
For that? Thank you. Transboundary Citizens Advisory Committee. A meeting of the Transboundary Citizens Advisory Committee will be held in Juneau on November 16th. I'm glad I picked that day. I'll be able to attend. I'll just spend a couple extra hours in Juneau on my way to Anchorage for AML. So that's from 3 to 5. I will report back with what takes place at that. United Fishermen of Alaska Conference. The UFA held their 2015 fall board meeting in Petersburg last week. Thank you for holding that in Petersburg. It was a lot of little benefit or bonus to our hotels, and I guess we don't have any restaurants, but it was well attended and it was interesting. So thanks for that. And we had a visit with Kevin Sweeney of Senator Murkowski's Anchorage office. He's the state director. Myself, Manager Giesbrick, and Glow met with Mr. Sweeney, and we drove him around and showed him waterfront and harbor and talked about dredging and all kinds of different issues and Coast Guard, showed him the Coast Guard mooring and how big of a housing facility they have in town and what an imprint there is in Petersburg. So that was a good visit. Okay, we've already dealt with the appointing Mr. Nielsen and the SEPA board member selection. So I turn it over to Steve for the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Municipalities across the state are starting to see evidence of pressure on the courts and prosecutors to reduce pretrial incarceration. They're reporting, reduced bail amounts set at arraignment. They've been much lower than in the past. And prosecutors have been directed to seek lower bail amounts to lower the number of bed days in jails. So we don't know how that's going to turn out, but it seems to be a growing trend as far as, again, folks that the courts and the prosecutors are looking for ways to keep them out of the jails. We also got a formal notice from the presiding Judge Stevens regarding closing courts in our region for additional days to cut costs. This is expected to slow down trial dates as well, and particularly in civil issues, which take lower priority. So heads up, I think it's just kind of mark of what we're dealing with at a state level, but we're starting to see some of that filter down to the jail or the police as well as the judicial system. Thanks to Power and Light for their work on the streetlights leading up to our past weekend's trick-or-treaters. For the public, please continue to report any lights that they see that are out, and so we can prioritize them and get them turned back on. We had a kind of unexpected Medicaid supplier in Juneau that our folks do business with went out of business suddenly. They've rerouted all their resident information at the Manor and other folks to a new supplier in Anchorage. We're not exactly sure how this will affect turnaround time for the residents up there, but Sheilin and her staff are keeping an eye on it. We do have some programmed rate increases in assisted living that become effective yesterday. We do have one vacancy at assisted living and one at elderly housing. Sheilin and staff are working their way down the wait lists to see who's ready to move in. We do have waiting lists in both places, so shouldn't be too long before we have folks moving back in. Temeco and P&D are finishing up the Middle Harbor repair project. It should be finalized not last week, this week, or in a few days. So we'll have that done. And then we'll take it up with our friends at UnCruise and see what happens with that. Harbor Board and the public review of the 50% conceptual bulkhead design went well. P&D will return towards the end of November with a 90% conceptual design for further review. The Moffitt Nichols engineering team, this is the group that were working on our comp plan and waterfront development plan, I should say, was in town last week performing facility condition assessment of the harbor waterfront facilities, including Papke's and the Kuprinoff float. These assessments will be part of the waterfront and comp plan and are pretty much rounding up with that plan. This was the one area that we were concerned about the most, and Moffitt Nichols agreed to come back and kind of do some added value to what we thought was needed to be done to make those plans complete. So they were here and worked with Glow and her staff, and hopefully we'll get some good information back from them. Probably extends the final delivery of the plan and stuff till probably sometime in December, but that's okay. That's what we wanted as far as these condition assessments. The annual fire prevention program for the elementary school was October 5th through the 9th, and we had approximately 217 elementary school children came to the fire station for the program. We also had the Girl Scouts are up there, and we've had fire station visits from daycare and preschool children, so I think it went real well from the volunteers and staff's perspective. Sandy attended our grant-required Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Fall Preparedness Conference and the Local Emergency Planning Committee Association meetings in Anchorage. These are important. Many of the federal grants in particular and some state grants that we get and equipment we can get require our attendance at these events or we become not eligible for the grant funds. So thank you. And most of the time they do pay for all of the costs associated with those. State Fire Marshal was in town and toured town with Joe and as well as Ryan looking at commercial buildings and checking out various construction stuff. So our staff stayed with them both from the standpoint of showing them around and also adding value to those inspections. Congratulations to Petersburg Economic Development Commission and Liz Cabrera, as well as all those folks that were involved in it. They received an award from the Alaska Chapter of American Planning Association for the best project implementation for the community branding effort. I know there were a lot of folks involved in that, led by Liz, and they deserve a lot of congratulations. We will continue to be, through Liz, working with the market over the winter to plan for the second year of the USDA grant award that they received. This is to help them, you know, continue that kind of community event and hopefully expand upon what has been fairly successful. Public Works staff has flushed and winterized all the fire hydrants. We're ready for winter in that area. Just thanks to Public Works, Ron, Sam, Martin, and Blake, who had to respond to a very significant water break on Joa. Did a great job getting the service restored to the neighborhood, thanks to the neighbors that had to put up with lack of water for a little while, but we got the crew out there on a Sunday and got them back up and operational and the leak fixed. We have been trying to do some additional grading and rolling of the gravel streets while the weather has been cooperating, and we'll continue to try to take advantage of that before things start to freeze. So, again, thanks to everybody. Carl and Public Works, we're in the process of working with CECON to secure pricing for doing some additional paving next year when CECON comes back to finish the state project. This is, you know, we've got to look at funding, and we've got money set aside for it. The biggest issue is that CECON, the state's already paying to mobilize the asphalt plant here. It's about a $100,000 cost to get one here, and this is likely to be the last big state project, roads project, for some time. So we want to try to take advantage of that when they're here. We'll be bringing this to the assembly with more details, you know, probably January-ish, to basically say, you know, we want to use our roads fund and possibly even some money that we had set aside for the Rasmus Inge Bridge to pull that funding and put it on roads to take advantage of when the contractors are actually here in town. Early notice on it. We'll see what happens. We've got to get information from CECON, and we've got to make sure we have the money set aside for it. So, know this came out from Carl, but it bears repeating. As of November 1st, the commingled recycling program will no longer accept glass. We will accept glass up at the baler. Primary reason for that is we're subject to the folks down in Washington who run the landfill, and they don't want glass. There's no value in it for them. It makes their job harder because they hand sort the recycled material, and glass doesn't travel well. So by the time it gets to them, it's in little bitty pieces. You know, to keep our value up, we can continue to do it. The problem is we'd have to start paying them more, and therefore it takes away the advantage of recycling. So by taking the glass out of the recycling piece, we keep the recycled price high, offsets the cost of the program, and we're in good shape. The glass that we collect here, we can actually crush and use it up at the landfill. It's perfectly legal for that. Keeps it out of the waste stream that way, so we don't have to pay for it to leave the island. But just so people know, they can throw it away in their normal trash can if they'd like. Please don't put it in your recycle. If they want to recycle glass, they can take it up to the baler and dump it off there. Unfortunately, due to their process, PIA will not be able to assist the borough with sidewalk snow removal this winter. Their streets funding doesn't appear to support this additional work due to some pre-existing project commitments they have. The borough is going to do our best to try to continue that service with our streets crew, but we're not sure we can do as much as what the tribe was able to help us with. I just want to give thanks to PIA for all their assistance in this and their work on not only replacing sidewalks but keeping them clear during the wintertime. Hopefully we'll be able to do some of that this winter. And last, we've been going through a kind of an update to our utility billing software due to some changes in the credit card industry. There's new compliance requirements that called PCI. Many people see it. You get a credit card, it's got a little chip embedded in it, and you take certain card readers to be able to read those. We could have used our old system, but then we would have had to pay more. If you're not in compliance, they take it out as far as a percentage. So it was worth our while to actually make the upgrade. Don't think customers will see much of a change, but please let Jody and her staff know if they start having a problem paying online. One advantage is it'll open up our ability to take e-checks as well as Discover cards for electronic stuff. Hopefully that'll continue, and they'll add additional methods later as this software gets in place and used. So, anyway, that's it. That's just questions.
Any questions of the manager on his report? Nope, seeing none, we'll move to unfinished business.
And today there's an ordinance for second reading. That's ordinance 2015-14, an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone a portion of Greenbelt of the Airport Addition subdivision from open space to commercial 1, C1. So entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Walhooter to adopt Ordinance 2015-14 in its second reading. Any discussion? Bob?
I have some questions. I went back and looked at Planning and Zoning's recommendations on this, and their recommendation was that of the A and B parcels of that, that the B parcel be left as open space, and for a number of reasons, but primarily because this is right there on the corner for safety purposes. But yet when I go back and read our ordinance doesn't address any part of that. And I'm trying to understand why. Is it now open space and it doesn't have to be rezoned? Was there a thought process there that we, at some point in time, we're going to sell that lot? I'm trying to understand where we're headed here with that.
I'm not sure. So you just don't see the wording in the ordinance that specifies that won't be turned into commercial?
What the intent was with the B part. And,
right,
and maybe the manager can explain that. I'm not sure.
I can explain. Yes, PNC recommended leaving that as open space. Liz and I spoke in one of the conversations that we had, and that may be what you're seeing, was that corner lot has some value, commercial value, if in fact somebody was to look at the two Uplands lot, which are owned by a church foundation that has approached us in the past about buying those, or somebody buying those lots. So the question is rather than leaving it open space, turn that into a commercial corridor right there. That's pretty valuable property right there in that area, and that would be the concept behind letting it also go to C1 so that that whole corner as well as the Uplands from there would be available for commercial sale. No requirement. The parcel A is the original piece that the folks have expressed interest in. There's no one that's come to us at this point and said they're interested in B, but it was kind of, if we're going to the trouble of setting this all up, do we do it all at once or not? So it doesn't affect, if it stays open space, it does not affect any plans that are in the works.
So if it stays open space as it is now, then at some later time, that issue could be addressed if there was interest in
if
that.
If the assembly, if PNZ and the assembly wanted to take it up at that point. It's an ongoing concern of folks because our process tends to take a very long time. And we were trying to outthink ourselves a little bit and say maybe do it ahead of time rather than leaving it alone. But there's no one's come to us and said we were very interested in parcel B.
Yeah. Well, although the P&Z did want to maintain as open space.
Correct. Yes, they did.
Another question. Would there be any... Should we at this point leave that as open space and take that issue up at a later time, I guess, is a question in my mind.
That is up to the assembly. The logic that Liz and I had when this was put together was related to we're doing the biggest part of it and do it all at once and be done with it, but there's no, again, there's no buyer in the wings waiting to do anything.
Okay. Last question, then. On either the A or the B portion, was there access to the highway from that, or would all the access be from behind?
Oh. Joe, do you know?
That would come up when they go to develop the property. You could have access from Haugen if you wanted to. But that's once it gets subdivided, it would be up to the owner how they access their property. You know, it would go through the state. They'd have to go through accessing probably state permits on the highway there to get a driveway. They'd have to get, meet satisfaction of public works because I believe we got utilities in that corridor there. So that would all happen at the development stage, not at the rezoning stage.
Joe or Carl, am I correct in saying that DOT has a say on access to that road?
Yes, they do. Haugen Drive is a state right-of-way, so they would have to get a driveway permit through DOT. Important to the borough, however, is the 14-inch water main that runs right along the frontage of that lot, and I've let the interested party know that there would have to be some significant work around that water line if they did access the lot from Haugen. We need to protect that as well as possible.
So does that clarify your question as well?
It does, but I think I would I'd make a motion that we modify that ordinance to include only the parcel A rather than the whole, both A and B, because I think that really needs to be remained open space, at least, you know, for the time being, because that is a safety issue of being able to see around that and doing something.
So your motion is to keep section B
as open space.
As open space. So is there a second to
second the motion?
Okay. Member Lynn made a motion to keep section B of this rezoning as open space, and was seconded by Member Greger. So is there discussion on that? Any questions or discussion with the assembly? So I've got a question. If that was left in there and it was changed to commercial, is there setbacks enough, Carl or Joe, or site distance from on an intersection where even if it was commercial, they couldn't build in the view of the traffic?
There would be considerations. There's not necessarily setbacks in commercial property, but there would be some considerations for site of view around the corner. And that was the reason, I think, that when you talked to Liz, that the whole property right now, we'd still own Section B, and we could choose to just hold on to it forever if we wanted to, you know, but now that was the idea, I believe, in rezoning the whole thing right now, so if anything ever did want to get developed on that corner, that we wouldn't have to go through this process again. You know, that was the whole reasoning behind doing it all at once, but the city would still, or the borough would still own Section B, and we could do with it as we please, whether we decided to never sell it or just to hold on to it as commercial property.
Okay. Cindy, you have a question?
This is a small one, but I know we just had the school sign relocated to the corner of that parcel. Right. Would that be written in as an easement if that property changed zoning and was sold, or is there already some consideration for that?
That I don't know. I don't know what considerations were made when that school sign went on the property there. Okay. Did the city, did we do anything for them? Was there some paperwork on that?
I don't believe so. I think we just, when DOT told us and the school that they had to move their sign, we tried to find a spot, and trust me, there was a lot of conversation about it, that would work, would be convenient for the public and the school and everyone else. And I think the school and Carl did a great job picking that site, you know, for the sign. I mean, it's a great location. Obviously, any development, if in fact the assembly wanted to do that down the road, would include that issue, meaning you either tell the school it can stay there or we find a new home for it, or, you know, whatever.
No, I would just take it's really a, to have to pay
sure.
to move it again.
Well, and I think for the most part, didn't DOT pay to move this one?
They did.
So we didn't cost anything to move it this time. We move it again, I imagine it's going to be on our dime.
Kurt, you have a question?
Just one question. It already looks like, according to this aerial plat, that there is a setback from the DOT's right-of-way. What is that setback? It looks to me like you could get one or two cars that would be able to have visibility up the road and down the road, you know, to see the way it is now. So, I mean, so I don't think a visibility issue would be the question that I'd have. So,
yeah, actually, it's not necessarily a setback. It's the extent of the right-of-way.
Right-of-way.
Mm-hmm. The way the roads lay up there on the land, it's kind of misleading. They're built well within the edges of the right-of-way, both on 12th Street and on Haugen Drive. Haugen Drive is a very wide right-of-way. So that the school sign, as it's positioned today, is right on the very corner closest to Haugen Drive and 12th Street of that lot that we're talking about. And so there will be no construction in the right-of-way towards Haugen from that sign. there's no property there to build on. It's all a right-of-way. So essentially that corner should be pretty wide open, although I understand the planning and zoning wanting to keep it as open as possible with their recommendation.
Okay.
One more question, Mr. Mayor.
Kurt?
So what was the vote on that from the planning and zoning? Was it was a unanimous vote that they wanted to leave that as open space?
Yes.
Okay, well, then I'm going to have to support that just because I want people to be on these commissions and boards, you know, and not me shoot them down every time they make a unanimous decision. So okay. I'll go along with Bob's amendment here.
So is there any more discussion on the amendment made by Mr. Lynn to Ordinance 2015-14, leaving Section B as open space? Will the clerk please call the roll on the amendment?
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, the amendment passes 6-0 to leave Section B in this ordinance change as open space. Now we will vote on the main motion for Ordinance 2015-14 as amended. Any discussion on it? I think we kind of beat it up pretty good or talked about it. So clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, the ordinance 2015-14 passes as amended. Next item, B, under unfinished business, is adoption of written decision and order of nuisance appeal for 107 Arnis Heights Drive and setting nuisance abatement date. So it sounds like, for a little history on this, after we had our hearing and decided that there was a violation on this property, the owners have talked with planning and zoning, and they have come up with a recommendation that the assembly set the abatement date for July 15th, 2016. So I'd entertain a motion to support the recommendation by planning and zoning.
So move.
Second. It's been moved by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Wallhuter to approve this abatement date for this property of 107 Arnis Heights Drive to July 15th, 2016. Any discussion? Jay?
Sure. I like the July 15th date. A couple of reasons. One, it gives the Millers time to work for solutions with planning and zoning and later the assembly. And two, it doesn't feel punitive. I think through this process, things can feel punishing at times. I don't think that's the role of the assembly to be punishers or be punitive in our rulings. And I think that gives, 9 months, give or take. And I'm assuming an adequate amount of time to take the necessary steps. So I'll definitely be voting for this.
Okay. And I agree with Jay's statement. Any other discussion on this? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, the decision to, that's the date, is for July 15th, 2016 for the abatement on 107 Arnis Heights Drive. Okay, new business. Ordinance 2015-15, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting fiscal year 2016 budget for known changes. I'll entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2015-15 in its first reading.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Logadakis, seconded by Member Lynn to adopt Ordinance 2015-15 in its first reading. Is there any discussion? These are all obviously issues that we've known about or we've talked about, right? So, yeah. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, 2015-15 passes unanimously in its first reading. And that brings us to Resolution 2015-19. This is a resolution urging the state of Alaska to amend the statutory requirements for the Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund and submitting a resolution for adoption by the Alaska Municipal League. I would entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 2015-19.
I'll move.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Lagadakis and seconded by Member Strand to approve resolution, or adopt resolution 2015-19. I think it just, what it does is just raises the limits that can be lent to different or parts of...
It amends to allow nonprofits
to do it, yeah.
Right.
So any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. So, am I missing something here? We're talking about PDC.
That was part of the budget adjustment.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, I did look at it after I got back from deer hunting today, but it was a short visit.
If I may, that doesn't actually spend any money. That's by auditing standards, we have to kind of restrict that much to that program. Doesn't mean we're going to spend any of it. It's to buy the interest rate down through First Bank or whoever bank's going to be doing this for them. We have to set aside the money and say this is restricted. And
you're talking about
I'm sorry. On the fire sprinkler program, even though we don't have any applicants to the program, we had to pick a number and say, in case somebody did apply for it, how much money should we restrict just in case, you know, to meet any requirements there. That's the number that we came up with. And we're not going to spend it necessarily. Well, we wouldn't have to spend it in most cases, but it's then restricted in the economic fund.
Okay. So, communications. We had a letter sent to us from the University of Alaska just talking about the timber sales that took place on Metcalf Island. Oh, they were helicopter logged and they thought they were successful. So, just thought I would pass that on to the assembly and whoever else wanted to read it. Any other assembly discussion items? Anybody wants to add or anything? If not, that moves us to recognitions. Any recognitions from staff or assembly members of anybody? Okay, that moves us to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.